This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch. Later on, we will be joined by young George Brown. But first off, let me introduce you to the one and only Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? We good?
I'm all right, mate. Been a bit ill of late, but I'm a bit of a stomach problem. Nothing too heavy. But yeah, I've dragged myself out of bed to talk to you. What a tonic.
So wait
for an injury.
So you have 6 weeks off, you go back for a week and then you're already off. It's literally ridiculous. What is happening?
Look,
no wonder this world's in such a shit show, man.
Look, people can get ill at any time. I soldiered through the whole day, marshaled my troops to a fantastic 4-4 draw, sick on the side of the pitch nearly, which was pretty minging, and then drove the kids home, got home, slept from 5 o'clock till about 7 o'clock, and I've been in bed all day. I've literally got out of actually done a full Lazarus to be here right now. You should be thanking me.
Good. Well, thanks.
No. You don't thank me. I'll let all of the wonderful fans thank me because you've got nothing good to say at the moment.
Well, actually, I do, actually.
Right, you know, come on in.
I wanted to start the episode with, you know, you usually come up with a tonic, but obviously you've been ill. So I was listening. I'm a taxi driver, so the radio of choice for taxi drivers, TalkSport. So I was listening to a bit of TalkSport the other day, and they've got this new kind of thing with Andy Goldstein. He was interviewing David James. It was only the advert. I didn't hear, listen to the whole thing. But he was saying about haircuts and stuff like that, getting haircuts. Obviously, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, you've checked out.
But David James said he goes into the haircut shop. He called it the haircut shop. Not the barbers, not the hairdressers. But he goes, yeah, I went into the haircut shop and I asked the haircut seller. And I was like,
haircut seller.
I was like, who calls it one? Who calls it hair? Do you know of anyone who says things like Mac,
no.
McDonald's is either MacD's or Mackey's? Like, also, like at home, we have the remote control, and people all got different names for remote control. So we call it the box. Pass me the box.
What? The remote control is called the box.
Yeah. So who's got the box? Where's the box? What do you call it? Remote control. Mate.
Well, it's a remote control for the fact that it's called a remote control.
I know some people call it like the dabber.
The dabber?
Yep, 100%, mate.
Who does that?
But it's like rolls as well. Like the haircut shop's mental because I think David James is the only one who must call it a haircut shop.
Rolls are weird. You've got cobs, you've got bums, you've got rolls.
We're going out to Walsall next week and Buzz, who's northern now, will call it. We'll say a roll or something because he speaks with a northern accent now. It's really weird. He tries to put on a little Brummie accent.
I saw that at Chelsea actually was doing a bit of a Brummie accent.
So there's nothing then. You just call it a remote control, like we call it a box.
I was brought up with the Queen's English, and the only thing I don't call it pie mash. It's just pie mash.
Pie mash. That's it. double pie, double. I just say double pie. I don't even go double, mate. Double pie.
Yeah,
mate.
Well, of course you do. Well,
the thing is, I'm Cockney, so I was brought up.
No, you're not Cockney.
I'm not. I was born in Barking, right?
Right, and
same hospital as Bobby Moore.
Okay, well, that's got nothing to do with being a Cockney.
And John Terry. And okay. Three
I don't
greats.
Think you should be celebrating that.
Three great centre backs come out of that hospital.
Yeah, one terrible bloke.
Well, John Terry, yeah, he ain't the nicest of guys, is he? And but I'm Cockney, so I say to the missus, like, I'm just going to go get the jam jar. You know what I mean? I've just got to get the apple pears. Do you know what I mean?
So, but hold on. Do you actually do that? Like, I don't think anyone,
always.
I know of Cockney rhyming slang, always. But I don't often go, oh, mate, look at my whistle.
If I saw you in a suit, I'd go, oh, that's a nice whistle we've got on, Daddy.
No, you wouldn't.
And
you
then, like, I come home and Missy goes, right, I go, oh, my plates are killing me.
No.
Dude.
Although, anyway, the other day, I was watching Lock, Stock for the 15th millionth time, which I absolutely love.
Great film.
And then one of the, I never knew the phrase, I'll keep your Allens on. So, Alan, what are you talking about? And then it came to me, Alan Wicker, Nickers.
Alan Wicker, yeah.
And I was like, I've got it now. But I just think a load of that now, there's, you've got the old Cockney rhyming slang, which people kind of all apples and pears and dog and bone, like the basic stuff. And now there's a whole load of new nonsense.
Yeah, but you got the YouTube talk, like cap means lie. Like, so my boy says to me, what are you cap for? And I said, what are you talking about, mate? Like, yeah, he's lucky he didn't get slapped. But so this ruined my start of the show because I thought you'd call the remote control something totally different. Like, because most
I'm a grammar school educated. I mean,
well,
myself in it. He's another guy. George is another guy.
Well, let's bring in George. George, how are we?
Pairs, man.
I'm guessing you're going to be all YouTube language, like in it, blood.
No, I'm all good. The only thing I'll die on, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's the only thing that people get. Call it tea. Tea is not dinner. It's breakfast, lunch, dinner. Tea. So, it's just it. That's what you drink. You don't have tea for dinner.
Yeah,
all the Normans would call it that. I it does my head in.
I agree. A rosie is a cup of tea.
Oh, let it go, mate. We know you said you're from Barking. I mean, you're Barking, mate.
I was born
mate.
In Barking, mate. Oh, I'm not from Barking. Thank you.
I'm actually from Chigwell. I don't get the north the tea thing. It doesn't. I just don't understand the logic of it. When people normally you have your breakfast and it's lunchtime. Like, okay, well, then you have your lunch, and then it was dinner time, you have dinner. But when I was at when my brother's wife, who's a Scouser, hello, Ben, he's in England at the moment, she was like, yeah, what did you have for dinner? That's what they had at lunchtime. It's called dinner time. And when they get home, it's their tea. It's like, what the hell is going on here? It's called lunchtime, for God's sake. Like, well, what happened?
Mick Doyle listens to the pod, who runs the Alex. He'll because he goes
what,
mucker.
The scores?
He says scores on the doors. He'll say mucker and stuff. And I know when I've been in Bolton before, they go, "Oh, what do you want, cock?" And I'm like, "Are you calling a cock, mate?"
Who are you talking about?
Few beers, yeah. For wind your neck in, son. I just want a few beers. They call people cock like as a hello cock or hello bab. So who are you talking to? Weird, anyway.
God almighty. We need to find some. We need to really freshen up our contact list, I think.
Anyway, talking about Northerners, Stockport on Saturday.
Great. Good from you. I'm normally the guy who comes. That was excellent from you.
Cheers, Dan. Cheers. I'm getting better at this.
George, let's do George speak. He's got far more sense than us do. Go on, George. Stockport, hit us with it.
I think we just lost to the better team. Pretty simple. I think better coach team with a better, bigger budget. And what I mean by that is we took out probably five of our best players. And they took out five of their best players, and they just cope better with that because they have a bigger budget, and that means that their depth is better than our depth. And quite frankly, they were better coached and deserved. I thought deserved 3 points. I thought they moved the ball the best I've seen this season, including Chelsea. Their actual patterns of moving the ball. I thought Louis Barry was very smart. After about 10 minutes, he realised just move Alex Pearce around. He just sat on Alex Pearce, came short. Pearce went with him, and just there were gaps open in the back line. And yeah, I would be very surprised if Stockport aren't top three this year because I thought they looked really good and dealt with their five injuries better than we did. And I think over 90 minutes deserve 3 points.
Yeah,
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think I said it on the debrief. You took out four of our best players, Lewis, Reeves, Little and Ali. And we just didn't. And then I think on the day, four of our best players, Tilly, didn't have the greatest game. Didn't think Pell done much. I mean, so if you take out Phil Johnson, had probably his worst game in a Wimbledon shirt. He started well, but then as I said, Pierce got pulled apart. So I mean, Johnson then as well did. I thought the only good thing for me, the only I went away with happy was Sutcliffe's 15 minutes when he come on. I thought he was brilliant. And I thought Sasu again is pushing for a start now over Nurfield. But yeah, I think Georgie's got that spot on regarding the game on Saturday.
Pierce just looked knackered. I mean, I don't know if you
after
if you
20
guys
minutes.
I don't know if you guys watched carefully, but I think it was about an hour gone. I think we were 2-1 down and they made the first lot of subs and Lee Brown came on and Pierce's face when they didn't take him off, he literally was like, oh, for God's sake, because they just basically swapped Curry for Pierce and Curry for Brown. And I thought they'd have put Brown in centre-back and they'd have put Curry on the left-back. I thought it would have been a straight swap Pierce for Brown. And Pierce's face, he looked fuming. And he just looked... I was worried anyway because he played on the Tuesday. He played in the Stevens game, if I remember correctly. So I was
Which
kind of worried
about
him. But again, I was having an iron about whether he was going to retire in the summer. And I'm not going to damn him too much. So I do think he'll have a role next to the season, but he can't play two games in a week. And he looked totally shot. Like George said, Barry just had him on string. And he got to the point where if you've got someone physical, I think he's fine. Anyone with any kind of half-decent awareness of that pedigree, you get Mullard.
On 22nd minute, my boy said, Dad, look. And Pierce was bent over, both hands on legs, bent over, looking like he was struggling for breath. And he went, he's done already. And I was like, yeah.
And it was hot, wasn't it? It was boiling
it was really
anyway.
Hot, the weather, but both
which
teams
is never
going to
help him.
But Pierce, yeah, I don't know why he started on Tuesday when we needed him for Saturday. But yeah, George?
I thought that was also a consequence of Lee Brown getting a silly yellow. If you look at what he did, I thought he sighed down.
That was rubbish, wasn't it? Little flick.
A winger, right? It was right before half time, wasn't it? And
yes.
He weren't going anywhere. It wasn't like where Tilly should have brought him down, in my opinion. It was different. He weren't going anywhere. He got a silly yellow. And then Jackson's probably going, if I move him across to centre back, he's one foul away from being down to 10 men. So I think that's probably influenced the decision as well. But it's frustrating that that's a silly yellow. I don't mind. If Tilly sides him down, I'm absolutely happy with that yellow. I'm also happy with sometimes if we're not in the game, someone needs to smash someone for a yellow. I'm okay with that. But a silly, petulant yellow before half-time where they're not going anywhere on a game where you know Pierce is going to struggle to get through 90, that should have been in the game plan. We should have known that Pierce wasn't going to get through 90. So then we say, Brown, you need to be not don't get on a tightrope so we can move you across if we need.
But also, their first goal, we should have done it. Someone in the midfield has got to take him out because as soon as he started running at Pierce, I was like, he is going to back up and back up and back up. And he backed so far up, and eventually it was just an easy goal. I'm amazed that somebody just didn't stop it on the halfway line and take the yellow
Tilly.
And move on.
Tilly should have rugby tackled him on the halfway line. Should have just rugby.
Just but
I agree with George regarding Lee Brown, and the problem is Lee Brown in that heat as well was always going to struggle to play 90 minutes. So he gets done. He loses the ball. He does well. Loses the ball. Their guy has it going nowhere. We've got cover there. And he just kicks him. It was ridiculous. I thought he was going to go off at halftime because of it, because you do not want him running at you in the second half in that heat. And I thought they dealt with the heat a lot better than we did. To be fair, there was, three chances on the whole game. We scored ours and they scored their two. Other than that, I can't remember Bass making a save, but I can't remember their keeper making a save either. But I agree with George.
I was gonna ask George about Nurfield, because I think there's a discussion here now. We've kind of had him for the, seven or eight games. And just so we're clear, I don't think this is, toys out the bar or anything like that. I think what George said, we had a number of players missing. I think we come back on Saturday and we're definitely going to be improved along the pitch. But have we seen enough of Nurfield to him guarantee a start now? Because Tilly is an obvious starter. Is it that Nurfield would rather play right, but Tilly's been so good that he hasn't been able to play there? But on the left, without an overlapping fullback, he looks way off and he's been so inconsistent. Is he a guaranteed starter or does Sasu potentially get a gig?
I don't think he's a guaranteed starter. I think there's very few guaranteed starters in the squad at the moment. But what I would say on Nurfield is he hasn't had that overlapping fullback yet, which he needs, because if you look at the lot of time, he's going up against two defenders. The winger comes and covers, so he's only got one option really. And also, I think he offers quite a lot defensively. And I know that's not a winger's main job, but if you look at how he balances the side, it's a 4-4, essentially a 4-4-2 with Boom, yeah, with really anything else. So you need that winger to help him, especially when it's Lee Brown, who's not the best defensively, especially in 1v1s. So I think he offers a lot more. Yes, he's been poor. He started so well in pre-season. Everyone was raving about him. I just think he needs what I think will happen on Saturday, Jack Curry starting behind him. And also, if you look at the positions he's take up, they're really good. In the first half, he was out wide in front of the East Stand so much, and it's just Lakin and Ball weren't getting the head up when we had the ball to go wide to him straight away. It had to be rather than two passes, just one long switch, which I think Little and Reeves would do, and maybe Ball and Lakin haven't quite got the connection yet or the ability to do it.
I thought Newfield was all right on Saturday. I thought some of his touches were really good when the ball came in. He took the ball down really well. I kind of agree with Daniel regarding Sasu. I think Sasu is pushing him massively now. And I think with Curry coming back in, it now gives us that option if Sasu wants to start, because Newfield really needs to get into it. I was quite disappointed with how we lined up with the formation on Saturday. I said in the podcast previously that we should have gone 4-5-1. And I would have had Bugle up front instead of Davison, because I felt they just run the midfield again against us playing 4-4-2. I think you're going to struggle all season playing that in League 2, especially with out Reeves and Little. And I think we should have played Ball, possibly Pell and Lakin in that midfield and not pushed Pell so far up, or brought Morgan Williams in and played Williams, Ball and Lakin and Bugle up front to cause loads of issues. And I was quite disappointed with the Heat, the team that we actually did put out. I didn't think Davison did much again. I'm disappointed in Pell, but then
no.
I can't blame Pell because he's playing out of a natural position. He's never been a number 10 in a million years. His legs are going, so I don't get why we're pushing him forward more.
I think the problem, I didn't get much out of Davison. And as I said before, I feel like he's now the kind of almost the forward that you want if you go 1-0 up, and he will just chase into corners and chase. I don't see him as... I kind of feel like it's Boogie with Pell, and it's Davison backing up Ali. Davison is... I mean, I know he scored on Saturday, but I mean, he literally couldn't miss. I'm just not convinced now that we're going to get a huge amount of goals out of any of the front line but Ali, and even Ali's been struggling. I think with Pell, as I said before, I think he's a bit of a nuisance. I think he just comes on, runs about, jumps about, gets in the way of a lot of stuff. Whether he is a number 10 and a deeper player, I don't think he's got the temperament to play deeper. So I think that's the reason why he's probably up there behind the forward. Because I think he kind of gives, it's a little bit of a free hit that he can be a pain in the arse on set pieces. He's good in the air in both boxes, but on the floor, I think he struggles. And I thought unfortunately on Saturday at the end, we just ran out of puff. I thought Morgan Williams was trying his best to do something. Nothing was coming off. I think Sutcliffe was decent coming on.
Loved him.
What was impressive is at the end of the game, we must have had five or six academy boys on, which is awesome. But ultimately, if you had to, you know, if you had to go, navigate the whole game, this is exactly what George said, that we were five or six players short. They were five or six players short, and they have a much better strength of depth. And I think we will see them very, very quickly move up the ranks.
I disagree on Pell. I don't think in a 4-4-2 you can play him anywhere apart from number 10. I don't think we saw it against Forest Green. He doesn't suit the deeper midfield role at the moment. If we move to a 4-5-1, as Lee said, that okay, I can get behind that and him actually playing as a central midfielder. I just don't think when we're playing 4-4-2 with the two midfielders having to cover the ground, be disciplined, do all the sort of things. You've basically got to play as a defensive midfielder, essentially, and then try and see if you can get forward. One of you can get forward. I don't think he's the better option there. The other thing I wanted to say was just, I don't like attacking the other end in the second half. And I know it's a psychological thing, supposedly, to do with getting over the plough lane ghost as such. But I just felt like when we had corners in the second half and moments, it's a little bit flatter. I don't know if anyone else felt that. When we attack the South Stand second half, literally, all you got to do is win a throw-on in the corner and everyone's like, look, I mean, everyone gets going. And it just felt like second half, we had a few moments again, not enough, but that's okay. It just never felt like the place got going. And I think Stockport, once they scored twice, just played very well, knocked the ball around.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then this is the problem we had last year with Johnny Jackson, is that he was very rigid in his tactical ability. And I think, unfortunately, at the moment, he's going that way this season with guards. He won't change to 4-4-2. Like, professional football teams, professional players should be able to play in a number of formations. And as I said, I would have changed it on Saturday to suit who we were playing and the players we had out. And that was just one disappointment for me. But yeah, I agree with you, John. I don't get why we've changed the way we kick off and stuff. But I thought it was flat on Saturday due to the weather as well, to be fair. Stockport, I was disappointed in them. I thought, I heard they sold out. They only bought about 600. They had a few fans were trying to sing. But after a while, when you're just singing back and forth and you're sweating your nuts off, it's hard to keep going. I think people then just kind of stopped. It was kind of very quiet on Saturday. But again, I think that's due to the weather. The fact that you couldn't get a drink. I was so disappointed on Saturday. I've mentioned it on the Twitter and stuff, that when I was queuing to get in with my boy, there was the stewards were taking bottles off people, like kids with Pokemon bottles, were having their bottle taken off them. And one kid was crying his eyes out. A family prop argued with the stewards to get their two kids to have their water bottles. It was like 40 degrees and people were having to pour their water away. My son went down to get a glass of water because they were giving them away. It took ages for him to get one. It was just ridiculous on Saturday with the weather. And I think the club needs to be a bit better. But we'll speak about that later in regards to the MD role. But Danny, anything else you want to add on Saturday's game?
To be honest, I'm quite glad we've got it out of the way. I think it can be quite a negative having that. We haven't lost yet. And I feel like now we've done that, I think we can kind of move on. I think that we're in the right kind of place. I think we're playing the right kind of football. And I absolutely don't think it's panic stations at all. We've learned a decent amount. And with players coming back, I still think we're in a really good shape. So it's definitely not any kind of negative or panic. I just feel like we lost to a half-decent side who'll be up there. So, yeah, it's always a disappointment to lose. And like I said, we're going to address that. It's becoming an issue. But yeah, I think we'll find our way, no problem.
I think another positive, we're scoring goals. We've scored, I think in every single game we played. I don't think, we haven't not scored. So we are scoring goals no matter what.
Apart from, we didn't score against Grimsby, did we?
Oh, yeah. First game.
Yeah, sorry, besides
Grimsby. We would have done if Ali and missed his pen.
Yeah, so.
Correct, yeah.
We are scoring goals. And we're, 11th after 7 games?
Yeah.
That's about where we are, I think. I think that is pretty much where we are. I think, you know, if we get a run scale, we might be able to push a bit higher. But I don't know why we're complaining about 11th. So far, with a squad that's, for half the games we played, be missing critical players. So I think there's a lot more to be positive about than there was on August the 5th. And we go again on Saturday at Crewe, you know, they come off the back of a good result. But we've got players back. And we know when we have our side and we play the football we want to play, we're a decent team. So I feel like there's a lot more to be positive about this year going forward.
I totally agree. I don't think we need to be chucking toys out of prams just yet. I think the people are going away from Plough Lane happier than they were last season. So, I make you right on that, George. And as you said, we are scoring goals and we've got players to come back. So, right, we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll ask, is Plough Lane cursed?
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So we're back and we're going to ask, is Plough Lane a curse? So boys, what do we think? We've not won a home game since, what is it, March last year, I think. I haven't got the figures in front of me, but yeah, it's been a long time since we've won a home game. George mentioned it previously regarding that we've changed ends now. So we kick towards the home end what first, and then we kick to the away end second to try and beat the hoodoo. What is it, Danny? Why can't we win at home?
Well, firstly, that's a complete shambles, isn't it? I mean, I thought I came up with a theory about all of that, and it got blown out of the water. So my theory's gone out. That's gone out. So I'm not even going to mention it anymore because it's a stupid theory and it obviously doesn't work. So I don't really know. I guess playing at King's Meadow was a lot more challenging in terms of, I guess Plalay must be a bit more comfortable for away teams. It must be a nicer pitch, nicer ground. It must be a lot cleaner and just a much more comfortable experience. And I think for us as a smaller team, and we're not the only ones. There are other teams. Chesterfield moved to a new stadium and they really, really struggled.
Arsenal.
Shrewsbury moved to a new stadium, really, really struggled. Arsenal, etc. I think the other thing as well, and it goes back a little bit to George's point about going to the South Stand, is I feel like it takes a while for people to find out where they are and where their old mates are, and whether you're in the chanting section or whether you're not. I think the first couple of years, everyone kind of gets a bit fanned out, and eventually people kind of gravitate towards where they eventually want to be. So, I mean, I'm behind the goal and I'm just to the right and all the main chanters are just to the left. So I'm kind of away from where I probably would want to be. But I still am quite a loud and, you know, I start a lot of chants, that sort of stuff. Because I'm an absolute lad, obviously. Go, but yeah, I feel like that's meathead. Got to be part of it. Yeah, absolute meathead. It's got to be part of it. But like I said, genuinely from when we've been at Plough Lane, I don't remember a huge amount of wins at all. So, yeah, there must obviously be something about it. I don't think it's necessarily anything about the fans not getting behind the team or getting behind the team. Maybe it's a nonsense, but the stats don't really lie.
Yeah,
that way. And maybe it's just the way that we play. When you're at home, you should take the game to the opposition. And maybe we like the opposition to be like a boxer, really. We probably want to be a counter boxer, whereas at home you normally take the lead, take the initiative. Maybe that's part of it, but I don't think there's much more. I don't know any more of the football theory of it, but maybe you've got an idea. I've got no idea.
No, I think you're right with what you're saying regarding it's probably a nice environment now for away teams to come down. If the away team feel the away end, then they can make a lot more noise than they did at King's Meadow in that little corner when they were getting rained on and stuff. So you're probably right regards to that. I don't know why we've changed the kick in. Again, I think it's psychological, which hasn't been working. I think someone put a stat up the other day that they've been going Plough Lane the last couple of years. They've only seen us win 7 times at Plough Lane in like 2 seasons, I think it was, I read, which is just mad. It's, do you know what I mean? We're getting a few bits off the pitch right regards to food and stuff. And obviously we're doing something right with Plough Lane because we sold more season tickets. On the pitch, it seems to be improving, as in we're happier with the way we're playing and the players that we've brought in, but we still can't win at home. I think regards to the atmosphere and stuff, Danny, I said it earlier on Twitter regarding some people really want to get the atmosphere going. I don't know if it works. Obviously, in England, people like Palace and Arsenal are getting absolutely caned because of their ultras section now. And I'm not saying we should have an ultras section, but I'd like to go. As I've said before, I've gone to Germany quite a lot and watched a lot of football out there. They have one guy at the front who's on this kind of scaffolding, and he leads the song. So he'll say, "Walking down the Hayden's Road is going to be the next song," while they're singing. And then everyone then sings what he then says. Do you know what I mean? Because at the moment, as you said, you start a song on your left-hand side, say AFC Wimbledon, but then you've got Dr. Lee Willett singing "One Was Out of Dream" on the other side, and it just then gets lost. Do you know what I mean? I think, again, I know Palace get absolutely rinsed, but they do make a decent atmosphere at Selhurst, unfortunately. And I think stuff like that, I'd love to get involved with Lee and talk about maybe getting some TIFOs started as well, because I think that behind that goal, especially when we get the scum at home or we get a crawler or something, we could do at least a decent TIFO behind the goal. And I know it gets people proper jump on it and say it's cringy and stuff like that, but it does get atmospheres going. And yeah, before I move on to Joy, I'd like to shout out a guy called Will, who I met on Saturday. Will come and spoke to me. He loves the podcast, but he also is half German, and we were talking about German football. Yeah, and it was good to speak to him. So yeah, hello, Will. Anyway, go on, George. What do you want to say regarding the Plough Lane curse?
Point out the obvious. We've come 23rd and 21st in the 2 seasons we've had fans at Plough Lane. Like, And that's because of home and away form. We've been just awful. That's essentially, we were decent under Robbo for about 8 games and then it sort of fell off and we were poor both away from home and at home. And then last year under JJ, we were awful away and at home. Like, I don't think as such Plough Lane is cursed. I just think we've been really, really poor for 2 seasons. And if you look at how we've started this season, we've had 4 games at Plough Lane. We've had Coventry, which we won, Wrexham, Forest Green and Stockport. And okay, yeah, we haven't won in the league, but I don't think we've been poor. I just think the last 2 seasons, we haven't been very good at football and we've lost games. I think, yeah, there probably is a bit more of a pressure to win games at home, as any home teams have, especially when we've been poor as we have been the last 2 seasons. It's almost added pressure when you're at home because it's like everyone's wants us to win so badly. At least when you're away, you know, there's no onus on you. And I think I agree with what Danny said in terms of we're maybe being at home and setting the tone and getting on the ball doesn't really suit us. I think we're much more comfortable in a scrappy game. The ball's not brought down and things like that. And we can really sort of use the experience of, you know, Reevesy and players like that to proper, like, okay, we're going to set the tone, we're going to play. So, and I think we've just been poor. So, yeah, I think there is a curse as such, but mainly because we've been bad, not for any other reason. And, you know, circumstances have come into that and people have said, it's, you know, moving stadiums. Yeah.
When do we when is the time that we bring someone down to do an exorcism on the pitch? When do we do that?
Well, we can't get Yuri Geller down, can we?
Yeah,
remember him with his bending spoons?
Bending the spoons, yeah. But yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying there, George. It has been pretty poor for what, 2 seasons now. But as I said, do people, is it the atmosphere? Is it just the players? Is it just what George says, Danny, that it has been poor for 2 seasons? Because Wrexham was a great atmosphere for me. Bolton last year was a great atmosphere. And then obviously when you have the Forest Greens come to town, I think we'll have it Saturday against Crewe. They won't bring as many away fans. And it's not as bitey on the pitch. Like Stockport didn't really kick ass or look to get a man sent off or anything or go into us. What do we do to make it better? What do we do to win games? Is it just get the ball in the back of the net?
To be honest with you, I don't really give a monkey's how many are behind the goal, the other end. I think we as a football club have to be better at, and to be really blunt, away from home, the atmosphere that Wimbledon create is outstanding. For me, going to watch Wimbledon away is much more enjoyable in terms of the crowd participation. I love Plough Lane and what it does. I get it all. But going away, you have like a certain hardcore of fans that every one of them comes together, and we all know what it's like. There's a different away crowd to a home crowd. And I feel like, personally, I feel like there is a little bit of dumbing down in terms of, we've wanted to make Wimbledon a very inclusive club. We've wanted to be a family club. We wanted to be a fun and caring club. And I get that, but you do lose that rawness that is on the edge of the pitch. You do lose it. Whether you like it or not, you are going to lose it. But there's no argument, like George said, we have been poor for 2 years. Well, we've been poor for 10 years, really, but we've been drastically terrible for the last two. And I feel like once we get one win this year, I think that could kind of put to bed. But I don't really understand the changing of the ends. I'm never going to get it. We should always be going down towards the south second half. So that's one thing. In terms of TIFOs and this sort of stuff, I'm all for anything. I don't agree with the fight and win on the bloke on a bloody speakerphone.
I agree.
But because we can all do it, but it just means that I just feel like what we need to do is, and to be fair to the guys to the left of the goal from me, they're non-stop. They are non-stop doing what they can. But because it's such a big place, unless we are attacking and being right on a corner or like George said, we have a throw in near us, it's really hard to kind of generate that energy. And I think that for me is part of the problem.
No, just before we come in, I agree with what you're saying, that we don't need musical instruments. We don't need a drum. We don't need microphones. But I just think 3 guys standing at the front, one on the right, one in the middle, one on the left, and they just orchestrate the crowd in saying, this is the song that we're singing next. One was Had a Dream, boom. Then we're going into AFC Wimbledon. Then we're going into the Tilly song. And you just, everyone then knows what song they're going to sing at that time and you sing it. So, as I said, I've been to German football. I went to see a Duisburg, the low team, League Two, big 30,000 seat stadium, only about 10,000 there, but they do it and everyone sings the same songs and stuff like that. And there was a tifo before the game, and all it was just holding up your white piece of paper, and it was white and blue with like Duisburg or something written on it. I couldn't see it, I was underneath it, but the atmosphere was brilliant. They did draw the game 0-0, but the atmosphere was literally non-stop from the minute they kicked off to the 90th minute. And as I said, that was in the free Liga, which is like League Two equivalent, League One. And their top level was just unbelievable. I'm not saying pyros or flares and stuff. I'd love all that. I would, but I know you can't do it in England. But I'm saying let's get it all on one page kind of thing. I'm not saying hand out a songbook or anything like that, but get one person or two people to go, this is what's singing next, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going on. And I think people then will learn the words and everyone will sing in unison, which is what I think sometimes is needed. Go on, George.
You also think it's maybe the contrast about King's Meadow. If you look at King's Meadow, we were always really good at home because it suited us. Scrappy, dodgy pitch, windy, wet, do you know what I mean? Everything. And then also if you look at the atmosphere point, everyone knew where their mates were. It was so enclosed. You literally went from, it was like the even the bar was tight, like everything about it was so like in the opposition's face. It just felt like it felt Wimbledon. And I know King's Meadow's not at home, I'm not saying that, but everything lined up at King's Meadow. And then you've gone to Plough Lane and we're still trying to figure out, you know, issues like bottle tops and drinking and things like that. And then the play on the pitch has been poor massively compared to King's Meadow, where we were good at home. Like we were consistently very good at home. I think the contrast is maybe what's worse, because you've gone from seeing your team do pretty well at home, know where your mates are, having quick booze, things like that, to being poor at home with issues off the pitch, atmosphere struggling. I'm not saying it's been poor, because it's not as good as maybe as King's Meadow. I think maybe that adaptation period, people are struggling to call it a curse or an issue, but it's maybe just an adaptation period to getting used to Plough Lane. And it's going to take a while because we still have got teething issues and we still obviously haven't sorted on the pitch. But I just think the contrast between King's Meadow, where we had everything lined up because we've been there for 20 years, winning games. I feel like the transition planning hasn't quite finished. So we're still having transitional issues.
No, I agree with that. And I think the TV
problems. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you're right with regards to TV issues off the pitch, like people getting in, no bottles, no bottle lids. Do you know what I mean? Once we start ironing all that stuff out and it is people are not having any issues on a match day, yeah, that might help as well. But yeah, I think you might be right there. Right, Danny, before we move on.
Do many teams actually, by the way, move and absolutely smash it? I mean, I can't think of loads. Brentford maybe? Brighton maybe? But
Rotherham struggled when they move. Or they got. They,
I just
to be
can't
fair,
think of many
down.
Teams who move and be like, oh, wow. Like they really kick on and just don't stop, or they've been really powerful. I can't think of many. I'm sure people will say, oh, this team and that team. But Southampton didn't. They struggled to begin with. I can't think. Maybe Man City maybe won. West Ham, yeah, they struggled.
I was going to say, the two big ones are West Ham and Arsenal for me that have really struggled since they moved stadiums. They've only just started now because Arsenal have paid off their debt so they can afford players to make them better. And West Ham have just realised actually that it ain't that bad of a stadium just to get on with it kind of thing. Yeah, anyway, we'll move on.
Interesting.
When we come back, we'll be discussing Chris Stewart has just taken over as the new managing director.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the show that's going on, the circus around the club at the moment. Some people are really getting fed up with the old politics of the club, especially as we started so well and things were going so well on the pitch, and then boom, the circus rolls back into town and it's a shit show off the pitch with Danny Macklin leaving. Recently, Chris Stewart has now taken over as the new managing director. That has caused some Ferrar on Twitter, or X as they call
it now. Did you just say Ferrar?
Is that what you mean? Ferrar, isn't it? I don't know.
It's not a car. Right, anyway. Ferrar.
Farrar, that's it. That's the word.
Farrar. Who said Nigel Farage?
Dan, this is the serious part of the episode, yeah?
Sorry, apologies. Take that back. We'll edit this out.
So Chris Stewart has now taken over as the managing director. He has left the Donnchadh board. The Donnchadh board has now been left, I think, with, what is it, 7 members on the Donnchadh board, but they have co-opted a 8th person, which is Ed Leake. Again, there's some furore regarding that because apparently it's against the constitution. Rule number 62, I believe, is that they, if you fall below the number 8, you have to announce a special meeting or you have to do a election. For me, boys, I'm really getting bored of all this now with regards to all the politics and stuff. I've tried to keep up with it all. I love getting involved in it, but it is a bit boring. I'd like to go back to just going how good Wimbledon are on the pitch. I think someone put it up on Twitter. I see a thing on Twitter the other day going, the other week we were beating Chelsea. We hadn't lost and something else. And Danny Macklin was in a job. Now we're up. We've not won in 5. We've got no managing director and everyone wants to pack it all in. George, I'll come to you because you're a smart lad. You're one of the youngsters. What are you making of it? Well, I think, who was it, Kyle put up the other day that the old boys said the youngsters will end up killing this club. But it seems to be the other way around. What do you think?
Well, it's just been a massive palaver over 2 weeks, isn't it? That Macklin's gone. Then there was the big issue with the interview about, oh, it doesn't matter if we lose. That again, just divides the fan base. And then the announcement that Chris Stewart's taken over. The thing that I don't like about it, and again, I care about the football. For me, all that matters is how the men's team do on a Saturday, how if we get 3 points. For me, that's why I support Wimbledon. But I don't like the fact that Buckley was appointed on a one-year deal, which ends soonish, by Chris Stewart, essentially, as chair of the Donnchadh board. And now Buckley's appointed him. It just, to me, it doesn't really seem right. It just seems like the old boys club appointing who they want, when they want. And it just seems like a closed off circle. And I know people will say, oh, elections, and there might be an election now, you know, stand. It just, another example of it being a closed shop and people in charge who want to be in charge. And again, I don't know the full details, so I don't want to say, you know, I know Chris does care about the club and I'm not denying that, but it doesn't look great from the outside, in my opinion.
George, I get your point regarding Chris says that he cares about the club, but he didn't care about a club recently when he stepped away from it all and asked the club to delete all of his details off the databases and asked for all of his information, and that was it. He was done with the club. I think someone said he went off to support QPR. I don't know if that's true or not, but he did step away and said he's had enough. We were going up in the leagues too much, too quick and too high, and he weren't happy with the direction we were going. So he can't have cared that much if he left and went, right, I want all my information deleted off all the databases. I get what you mean about the old boys club again. We've like Ed Leake coming in, being co-opted. Ed apparently is very good at what he does, his finance and stuff like that. But he was on the board previously, I believe. He has been on the board previously and now he's back on the board. I don't know if he stepped away before. But my problem with it is that we had 2 people step down in Matt Lowndes. And who was the other one who stepped down? Was it Zav at the time? Xavier and Matt Lowndes,
no,
I think.
No, who's the guy from overseas?
Freddie Flaxman. Freddie Flaxman. So we lost Freddie Flaxman. Who again was what I don't know what he did when he came on board. He gave this great sales pitch. We had him on the pod and then he's just flounced off. Now we've lost Chris. Now we've lost who else? Sorry, did I just say Freddie and who did I just say? Oh, Matt Lowndes. Matt Lowndes only lasted what, a month? And they didn't bring anyone else onto the board then. Why not bring on 2 people that finished highest in the elections at that time? That's what I don't understand. Maybe I'm just clueless. Maybe I'm not smart enough to understand. But yeah, if 2 people step down, why not bring in the 2 people that got the most votes below that? So then you've got the board up and now we don't have all these people saying you're going against the constitution, rule 62B, do you know what I mean? And boring the pants off people regarding it. Danny, what are your thoughts? Because you don't really like getting involved in the politics too much. Or...
Not really. But what I would say, of all of the rules in the constitution, rule 62 is probably one of my favourites. Yeah. So I just want to put that out there. I'm a big fan. I should get a T-shirt with Rule 62 on it, you know, Rule 66, Rule 62. Like I said, I think what George has said is quite interesting. It does, whether you like it or not, it does come across a little bit of job for the boys. slash girls on the fact that it's the same. It's the same kind of pool of talent. It's the same kind of pool of discussion, and we're kind of recycling the same people. And I don't I don't feel comfortable with that as a premise. Just right. Do you know what? Well, you did it before. You do it. For me, I also feel deep down, and again, it is a difficult one because I just wonder whether we should have like a youth board and a senior board in terms of, I feel like a lot of the people on the Don's Trust board are not fully representative of the whole club. I mean, someone like George, example, who's coming here, or what do we call Posh Jamie or something like that. Two or three or four lads who, you know, and ladies who are quite switched on, know what they're talking about, but they have got a different viewpoint for where the world goes. I just think having a whole board probably between the ages of 45 and 70, by and large male, by white. And large white. I mean, it just, for me, it's very, very one-dimensional. And I just feel like the other challenge is that it does open up again how easy it is to split the camp. Because when you know, there's just too many cooks. When a guy owns the club or doesn't own it, all of us are either hating him, loving him, or indifferent. Now we've got people who like it, people who don't, and I think there's just too many variables. But it just doesn't feel right that we just go, oh, we're struggling. Oh, you just do it. I mean, I presume this guy didn't put himself up for this recent round of elections. No. So why would we're basically then entertaining someone who didn't really want to do it in the first place, and now we're doing it? Doesn't quite make as much sense as you said, Lee, as you go, okay, who else is on the manifesto? Colin Shergold or whoever, what other names there are, would you be interested in having a conversation? Or you reopen a vote and just go snap vote. You know, you don't, what's interesting is if someone of a member of parliament was in a, you know, a constituency and they decided to leave, you don't just go, right, who's conservative, and you go, you have a by-election. You go, right, well, we're going to go again. And for me, it doesn't make much sense. We should be doing it all again. We go, okay, we've got two people. Who wants to do it? This is the turnaround. And you just do it and you go around that way.
I yes. agree with that. And that's what I had the issue before when we co-opted. What's the name? Oh, I forget her name now. Anne-Marie Godfrey. And we put Pricey on the board because they were co-opted in. There was no vote regarding them two coming in after Xavier left. And I just thought, well, wait a minute. I didn't vote for these two people, and now they're on the board making decisions for me, the fan, who pays £25 to have these people represent us. I now think, in my opinion, and I had this, Xavier wrote a really long piece. I ain't going to go into it because it's quite long. But I just think the Don's Trust board now is not fit for purpose. They don't represent me at all. They don't represent the fans. They don't listen to the fans. I put a post up regarding that, but that we're not fit for purpose. Not one person from the board has answered it, and I put that up a day ago to ask the board why the Don's Trust board are not fit for purpose. And as I said, it's becoming a joke. People put questions up, they get deleted or they get moved around. And this is by the chair of the Don's Trust previously, which is Chris Stewart. He was in, there was an issue last year with him going on and logging in to the ESG regarding voting and stuff, and some people were throwing mud regarding has he changed votes. Category can't say if that was true or not. Again, I don't like getting involved in it all. It just, you know what I mean, we don't want to get another text or a phone call saying we're going to have the AFC Wimbledon lawyers over on us again. But do you know what I mean, it's just ridiculous now how, as I said, we might as well have someone in who runs the club on a day-to-day basis, who's a chairman, who has nothing to do with the club, who buys the club and puts in money. I'm actually quite envious and jealous of people like Wrexham at the moment with two owners who are American guys who don't really know much about it and just thrown themselves into it. And I know people say, well, wait till that goes all tits up, but not being rude, this is all going tits up at the moment at Wimbledon. George?
I think it's just another example of we are non-league off the pitch, in my opinion. We're not very well run. And people can say, well, we're fan-owned. This is great. It's great on the surface. It looks great because you get your Don's Trust membership, which, by the way, membership will definitely decrease this year. I can see a big drop.
100%.
I know a lot who have been sent that, oh, are you going to renew email, and basically just deleted it. Like, what's the point? £25, you might as well go down the pub and do that with it. I'm really worried because
we've sorted out on the pitch now. I think Craig Cope has been such a good point. We've sorted out on the pitch. Off the pitch is just a shambles, and it just seemed like Macklin has been, however he's been got rid of, whatnot, and there's been no plan. There's nothing. It's just, oh, who can we put in charge? And obviously Chris has got very, very strong political views, which again divides the fan base. He's got that right. So I'm not having a go in for that. But it's just another example of the fan base being divided. Another example of us being amateur, in my opinion, or sorry, non-league, whichever one. And it seems like step forward with Macklin, two steps back, step forward, step back. And it will get to a point where this fan base there's going to be the people that care about the trust and the football, and there already is. But it's basically got to the point where the people who even cared a little bit about the trust, just they're not interested anymore.
And for me, it's the whole club at the moment, though, George, behind the scenes. It's tone deaf with guys that you'll do as you're told. We are the ones running the club. This is and people talk about a click. There's no click, but to me, there is a click. As you said regarding the mirror piece with Jonesy and Chris, I kind of understood where Jonesy was coming from. But did that? I don't know if the mirror contacted the club. The club probably should have said, "Look, not at the moment. We can't put that out." Or do you know what I mean? Because of what was going on behind the scenes, I just think, yeah. And look at today, the club put out a thing about the jukeboxes back. So the club are asking for people to put in their song choices for Saturday to play, and every single song choice is just literally just a wind up. Really, it's just a joke choice to say, like, about the Danny Macklin situation or the Chris Stewart situation. I think, again, as you said, Chris Stewart, if you love him or hate him, like him or loathe him, he is going to cause issues between the fan base, again, because of his politics, because of what he's done before. Previously, as I said, he walked away. It will cause issues. And then they've gone, you know what we do? We'll put him straight in as managing director on a paid position as well. Do you know what I mean? And my feeling, my opinion is that once Mick Buckley leaves his role, Chris Stewart will now go into the chair of the club once we get a new managing director. But we've got a new managing director who wasn't part of the club before, and that lasted 10 months. And there, as you said, George, this doesn't seem to be a plan B. So if Danny Macklin had left, say, on his own accord, or he was sat, or do you know what I mean? There doesn't seem a plan B. What about if Craig Cope turns up in a couple of weeks and go, look, I've been asked by Real Madrid to take over their transfers. I'm going to take it. We don't seem to have a plan B. What are we going to do? Get Chris Fulpin to take over that role?
I think the problem we've got is that compared to other clubs, and again, I can't... You see, like, long sagas of Charlton trying to get rid of an owner, but our turnover and the frequency of people going out of work is alarming. And in any kind of job, you get the odd person here and there who leave for a better opportunity and you put your hand up and go, well done, or they retire. But we're getting people who are basically just bailing, like, for a short notice. And either we're appointing wrong ends, or we're getting it wrong, which you can't with an election because you kind of have to pick what you got. Or there's something happening within the club that is not a happy environment, and we've got to kind of find what the answer is before it's too late. What I will, and we always continue to say, is this is a thankless task of very, very passionate people who are desperately wanting Wimbledon to be successful. That's us as fans, and these people are trying their very, very best to make it better. What the scary thing is that these are people who, as we've said before, who have never run a football club, who don't know what it is to run a football club. And now we're in at King's Meadow, you can get around it at 4,000 or 5,000. We're now at 8,000 and 10,000 and bigger security risks and access to travel and the club shop and everything else. And as well as we do so many of the things we do well, it is a concern that maybe the skill sets that we will need to be successful, we may not necessarily have them within that group. And that, for me, the fact that the Don's Trust is made of 8 Wimbledon fans, which, frankly, it scares me to death that there isn't one person who's on the advisory board who's got any experience of running a football club. That, for me, sounds worrying. Although I know Danny Macklin made a lot of other decisions, and I get that. Above all, the key holders, the guardians of the club, are people who have got no understanding of how this platform works, have never worked in football, and that no matter how much they try, is always going to take time to get used to. And the fact that people are literally coming and going, sold that, is unfortunately indicative of where we are.
I think with if you did a poll on match day of the 6,500 Wimbledon fans that go every week, I think the approval rating of the Don's Trust board would be low. And that's my opinion. And I think it's very hard to disagree. I think they don't represent us as the standard fan. I think they represent potentially the very, very hard, not hardcore fan, but very hardline view fans. And I think what that's now done is driven the club so sort of divisively. You've now put the person who ran that divisive group in charge of the managing director role, which we've, you know, for Macklin's faults, or I don't know why he went, so I don't know what his faults are, sorry. But he did seem to put the club on the right path in terms of revenue, in terms of getting Plough Lane. So it seems like we got the right path. And then we take someone in a divisive role who's a divisive figure, Chris Stewart is a divisive figure, and then put him in charge of that. It just seems like we're just getting made a really bad decision here. And that's not because I dislike Chris Stewart, and that's not my personal views on Chris Stewart. It doesn't sit right with me. And I'm worried that this could now lead to higher up things in the club. Because as you said, Lee, what happens when Mick Buckley goes? Because he's not a long-term option. He's not a long-term CEO. Who then appoints him? Who becomes chair of the Don's Trust board? Does he then get to appoint? So it's all very worrying, all very unrepresentative, in my opinion, of the average fan. And that's why, side note, I think a Don's Trust membership should come with a season ticket. But that's a different discussion for another day.
No, I think we've said this before. Me and Danny have said that regarding the season ticket and Don's Trust. I think you're right regarding the low rate of fans would vote for the Don's Trust doing well, because they lost me last year with the Meet the Manager video, when they didn't listen to the fans saying we wanted it to be published, the whole video. And to be fair, the video wasn't even that bad. I don't get why they just didn't go, yep, the fans want it. The fans then went to the club and said, like, the Don's Trust, sorry, went to the club and said, you have to publish this video, and they should have done it, and they didn't listen to the fans then. I think you're right, Danny, with regards to the thing. When we've said this before, Danny, there's a lot of good skill set amongst the Wimbledon fan. There is. Look at Joe, who does our graphics. He's unbelievable with what he does. But we seem to have this pool of a select amount of people, of 10 or 15. I say this every week, and people think I'm just getting at people, but they're so scared of losing that little bit of power. Maybe because they love the Wimbledon and they give their all for it, and I get that. But sometimes there could be someone who could do the job better and do it cheaper, or do you know what I mean? And just do a better job. And I just think we need to look, how are we asking every single Wimbledon fan out there, instead of the same old people, to do stuff? And there was a little case the other day, and I don't want to have a go at people or jump on people, but Johnson Paint Trophy, we've said this before, Danny, there was the commentary team of Mike and Rob. We didn't have a PA announcer that game, so Mike had to do the PA announcing and then do the commentary as well. It's like, well, why not give the PA announcing to someone else who can do it? Do you know what I mean? Someone else who can speak. Or say to someone, look, can you fill in for half hour to do the commentary with Rob? And it's things like that just wind me up. They just don't want to give it out to anyone else. And because you might go and do the commentary and everyone goes, blimmin' hell, Danny Bakel's unbelievable, we want him every week. And then poor old Joe Bloggs is sitting there going, oh, that's me out of a job now, and I love it. But sometimes that is the case, that there is people there could do better jobs. There could be a better MD out there. There could be a better chairman out there. But we don't know. I don't see... We said about it, didn't we? Putting that skill set together, putting people with skills that can do stuff. I don't know what the club does, really, but you said it last week, Danny. You didn't know what the Don's Trust did. Do you know what I mean? And we struggle every week with it. And I'm really struggling this week with, as I said, the constitution not being filled in and stuff like that. And you've got Kev Rye coming back and saying they've done everything they should have done. But I disagree. I think they're just doing whatever they want.
But the key with that, though, Lee, then, is don't get involved in it. Your job and our job and George's job and anyone who's not that bothered about all of that other stuff, just turn up on Saturday, cheer the boys on, watch the game, and don't touch it. Just leave. I think I've just got to the point where I don't know. I'm not. If I really was that bothered, I'd do the research. I would get on top of it. I don't have the energy, the time, or the inclination. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to turn up to the game. I'm going to enjoy what I can enjoy. Cheer the boys on. Go home, and then, you know, get a takeaway. I think I'm just Just try your very best to not get involved with the nonsense of it.
Go on, George.
I don't think that works because I not that they don't care. They'll still get the same core group who will vote for them. If me, you, and Lee and a load of other group don't become Don Trust members or don't renew, the elections will still have, in my opinion, have the same however many hundred voters there is. I think the same people will still be voted in. And I think this attitude that, oh, we can fix it by turning our backs on it, the people at the core of it, I don't think they're fussed by that.
But we're not going to, you're not going to fix it, George. The challenge is that if you can't fix it, we can't fix it because yourself, Lee, you're going to turn your back on the Don's Trust. So what you're saying is, I'm not going to have an active involvement in it. So what I'm saying is, and for the right reason, if you're not going to change it, just don't look at it. All my energy is here. If you're going to leave the Don's Trust, rightly, in my opinion, I'm the same with you. I'm not going to be doing it. Then don't worry about it. Just put all your effort in the team. Laugh at whatever else they're doing and just turn up for the 11th side. And once that's negative, then you can do something about it.
Dan, one of my friends, Crichton, right? We call him Crichton because Steve Adams has got a square.
He looks like Blake from Red Dwarf, yeah.
Square head, you know, Steve. He said the same. He loves it, Steve. He goes to all the meetings, gets right involved in all the Don's Trust stuff. And he said, I've just had enough now. He said, I'm just done with it all. I said, well, we might as well then sell the club. We might as well look to see who fancies putting in some money, sell the club, try and make our budget bigger, try and do things better. We've got Plough Lane now, which I don't think we're ever going to lose. I know people say never, but let's not be scared of the past. Let's look for the future. Sell the club, bring in money. Right? I don't know who we're going to sell it to, but let's just say we can. And then we can then moan about an owner every week in, week out. Because at the moment, I feel like we are owned by a select amount of people. And whatever I do, whatever I say, is never going to change anything. So I might as well, as you say, just give up on that. Go and have a few pints with my mates. Go and have a Mai Pie and enjoy the game best I can. Sorry, George, go, mate.
One issue I have is with our fan base is I think we have too much. Because we're fan-owned and we've done amazingly to get to where we are, we think we have a right to know everything. At the end of the
day,
we're a professional football club. We're a business that's worth however much we're worth. That's what we are. I get we have a Don's Trust board. I get we're fan-owned. But if Danny Macklin's statement said he is leaving Friday, September the 8th, effective immediately, that's what the statement's going to say. We don't have a right to go, I'm a fan, I'm an owner, I deserve. No, you don't. Because quite frankly, we're a professionally run club. He was in a professional position and he was doing this. We don't have a right just because we're fan-owned. And I think that's what a lot of the younger fans have an issue with. We're told that we don't have a right because we didn't go through MK and we didn't do all this. And that's why, in my opinion, young fans are not welcome at the club. And not welcome on match days, but not welcome to get involved because we have different views. But I'm just really worried about where we go because it doesn't seem like there's a direction.
No, George, I kind of agree with what you're saying regarding the fan-owned stuff. As I said, I think some women fans are very self-entitled with regards that they want to know everything. And we don't need to know anything. The problem with the club I've got is that one person from the club will leak information to other people and then it's Chinese whispers. And then now we've got all these Chinese whispers of the reason why Danny Macklin left. Do you know what I mean? Danny Macklin left because he shot a cat or he left because he farted in Chris Thorpe's face. Do you know what I mean? They're just made up, by the way, before people start going mad. But do you get what I mean? So we need to close down. The people that inside the club need to stop leaking information or stop sending out stuff to other people because it then goes round and it's like a wildfire. And then everyone wants to know. And everyone, as you see, as I said, with the song request today, the song requests all link to the same thing of why Danny Macklin left the club. But I just think, yeah, it's mad. And this is why I said we might as well sell out, have an owner who's not going to tell us any information anyway. And we're in the same position no matter what. But hopefully we'll have a little bit more money in the kitty.
The only leak that should be still be there is WAD sources transfer leaks. We want to keep that one alive. Besides that, I agree.
What sources will never die, mate? Never die. I don't ask Joe Mojo. I don't think I've ever got one wrong. Oh, sorry. WAD sources. Me and Danny and Joe.
I mean, the one thing I would say though, guys, is there must be 10, 8, however many you need, really good people in the club that would make the Don's Trust work beautifully and everyone be happy. So it's just a case of, I guess, trying to find out how you identify those individuals and how you encourage them to do it. Because the other thing, let's be honest, if you're a potential candidate or you're a potential board member now, and you listen to this conversation, you're going, I'll sod that. I've got no interest to do it. So I guess it's just a question of, are we maybe as fans part of the problem in terms of we're not making it particularly appetizing proposition for somebody to join? I don't know, but there must be enough fans who can do it. In terms of selling the club, I just don't think it's going to happen ever. But what I would say is that the only time I think it could happen is once we pay Plough Lane off and we're lock, stock and everything sorted. That's when I think there's a really good conversation to go, do you know what? We've taken it, we've paid it off, we've done everything we want to do, but now it's about accelerating. Or, that's when I feel that maybe that's the time.
One central, or when people are seeing the actual shit show that's being run at the moment and stuff and go, actually, I actually want my bond now. And then we like, shit, we can't pay all the bonds and we go into administration and then someone has to come in and bail us out. But hopefully that will never happen. George?
Dan, what you said, I hope that happens in terms of we can get to a point where the elections are fair, not fair, but the candidates, if you look at the last election, how certain candidates were treated for having certain views by the core group who, in my opinion, the clique who run the club, treated certain candidates certain ways because they knew they could. They knew they could, essentially, they knew they could. So this whole idea eventually will get to a more place where the board's representative, more representative, and more forward thinking and potentially, in my opinion, more clued up about how modern football, the realities of modern football and how we need to look forward. I just think certain people and certain groups of people in the club don't want to allow that because they are they're rightly scared of the past. And I get that happened. But just because we're scared of the past doesn't mean we can't get to the future. And that's why I think the trust board isn't fit for purpose, because they're more scared of the past rather than excited for the future. We've got such an amazing thing in Plough Lane. We need to be looking forward. And I get MK is an awful thing. I completely understand that. And I didn't live through it. I was born a couple of months after, so I genuinely was not alive. But the past is the past. We can't change that. All we can do is try and influence the future.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. And I think there's, on the flip side of that, there's people actually probably working or volunteering or in the club who actually have the same views of selling club and maybe taking outside investment, but they're actually too scared to speak up because then they get kicked out of positions, or they're scared then they'll get kicked out of positions. Do you know what I mean? I just hope that one day we will have, I don't think the last election was fair. The integrity was totally taken out of it. Do you know what I mean? And I just think the way the hustings was handled was all wrong. I don't think Samuel Wombles, us or 9 years should have any dealings with it, because we all have our own personal views on it. And I don't think you can do it fair. I think the Don's Trust have to do that, or the Ash, whatever the group is that look after it. The club need to sort that out, and it needs to be a fair election. But yeah, anyway, we've been going on a bit too much regarding this. So if you have any views, put them in the comments on our Twitter page or anywhere else. But yeah, we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll discuss the Crewe game on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back for the final part of this episode, and we're going to be discussing Crewe. Obviously, we'll do our predictions in a minute, but I must be doing well after the weekend, Dan, on the old prediction table. I did predict Stockport to win. I predicted 1-0, so I must have got points for that.
Got 1 point for that, yeah. Yes. I got a point as well.
Oh, how'd you get... No, because you said... No, wait a minute. You said we'd win. Or to a draw?
No. I said that we were going to lose to Stockport.
Did you? I got to listen to the episode again last week.
You listen to me every night. That's the problem.
Right.
But you're doing really well, Lee. You're doing exceptionally well.
Who's
you're
top? Doing... Is the busman still top?
Well, I don't talk about it.
Why?
I've taken a bit of a dip. The busman is still up there. Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
Gary Busman. Who's second?
Don't care. Not interested. If I'm not at the top, I've thrown in my toys at the pram.
Well,
We need another election.
You got to send me the link again so I can put that out for the Crewe game on Saturday.
I'll do it in the morning. Chill your beans.
Don't lock it.
Oh, well, I locked it last time.
Yeah,
I won't lock it this time.
Loads of people went mental, and they all go mental with me. You get away with it.
They should go mental at you. About time you pulled your weight.
As long as Joe Moja don't win it, I'm happy with that. Anyone but Joe. Yeah. Anyway, Crewe on Saturday. So what do we think? So Lewis comes back straight back in for Pierce.
Yeah.
Curry comes in for Brown for me. Ali, does Ali come straight back in? Will he be from traveling from Thailand and, you know what I mean, doing what you do in Thailand?
I'm not 100% sure on his fitness, but he did come off a half time for Iraq in that first game and then didn't play in the second game. So again, that might just be a little knock. I have no idea. So I don't know if he is fully fit. That's not an in the know or anything. That's just, but I would bring Ali straight back in.
We definitely don't have Reeves on Saturday. He's in hospitality. The club were nice enough to let us have that bit of information. The other players who were injured, your guess is as good as mine. Ali could be 100% fit. He could be 50-50. The club, this is one thing that really annoys me with the comms and the club, is that they don't feel to let us know. Some people, it don't really bother them, but it really does bother me because Reeves is our club captain and we don't know what injury he's got or how long he's out for. And I think it's just common courtesy to let the fucking fans know how long Little and Thing are going to be out for. But that's just my rant on that. But yeah. 4-4-2 again, boys. Nurfield come out. Sasu, sorry, George, you want to say something?
So I would bring in, obviously, Lewis for Pierce. Curry comes back in. I think Morgan Williams starts for me. I thought when he came on against Stockport, he at least tried to get us moving the ball. I know he did spray some. There were two passes where I thought, oh, that's a little bit ambitious. But he did try and get the ball, get us on the ball and get us rolling the ball better. I think Bugle comes back in for Pell. Pell's been disappointing for me so far this season. And Nurfield starts, but I'd be looking at Sasu coming on a bit earlier, maybe 60 minutes. I think Nurfield still starts because of what he offers off the ball and what not. But I think.
And who does Williams come in for, George? Again, like, who does Williams come in for?
I think Lakin, because I think Ball.
Lakin.
Lakin. I think Ball's done all right. He also offers us a physical presence.
Yeah, I like Ball. I think you're right there. I think, George, unfortunately, you're lagging a little bit, so that's why we're jumping over each other. But I like Ball. I think you're right. He offers that strength, and he's defensive-minded, where Lakin goes a bit forward. Well, I agree with you about Williams. Some of the balls were off on Saturday, but at least he was trying to get us forward. He was trying them balls over to Ogundeyer. Ogundeyer needs to work on his crossing if he's going to stay in the team long-term, if Bilal comes back. But yeah, I agree with that. Crew are in decent form. They smashed Forest Green 4-1, who we let a lead slip again against. And they also beat the Scum 3-1 as well, so they can score goals. Yeah, it's going to be tough on Saturday. Danny, what do you think regards to the game on Saturday?
I think, firstly, we're definitely going to have a lot of changes, which is good. I'm slightly different. I would start Sasu over Nurfield, I think. And I don't think that's anything against it. I would just be interested whether Nurfield is as good as an impact sub. And I think Sasu's done enough to get a bit of game time. So I'd be tempted to shuffle the pack a bit. But Lewis comes back in. I don't have a problem with Morgan Williams. If Reeves is out and Little is out, then I would go with Ball and Williams. Boogie has to start up front with Ali Alhamidi. I think, unfortunately, I think we'll be a 1-1. I think it will be a good point. They're playing well. We're a decent team. I just don't quite feel we've got enough in the squad yet to really dominate at home. So for me, I think it'll be 1-1.
Come on, George.
I'm interested to see Connor Evans. I want to see how he plays in the wing. I want to see if we can get him on. Maybe if Tilly's having a poor game, I know that sounds. I just think maybe we tend to go if Tilly's not influencing the game, bring him on, see how he's doing. I think we'll really, really see how good it will be to have Lewis and Curry back in the back line. I think it means we can step up. I think it means that players like Ball and Williams could get on the ball higher on the pitch. It means we don't need to play 40-yard balls because when we have Pierce, we sit so deep, the midfield have to play long balls. I think it will help Nurfield because I think he'll have essentially more support with Curry. I'm optimistic about Saturday. Also, I'd like us again to shoot the South Stand second half. But I think we'll win 2-1. I actually do. I think we're a good enough team. I think we'll show why we're solid Saturday. I think Bugle offers a lot, and I'm positive.
I agree. I'm quite positive. I think Crew are in. good form, which means they'll probably come and try and come at us as well, which is good for us. I think we always can get, as you said, we can get behind George. I think I'm going to go for a 3-1 Wimbledon win on Saturday because we have got goals in us. And I think Ali will break his duck on Saturday. My problem I have is with Evans is I don't see, I know he's here now, so we've got to get behind the boy and see how he gets on. But I don't see the need of why we signed him. We have McLean, we have Sasu, we have Tilly, we have Nurfield. I still think Ali, if he gets injured, we're screwed in up front and we should have bought a striker in January. And that's probably the only mark against Craig Cope at the moment. But yeah, I think 3-1. And as I said, Evans is here, so we'll get behind him. And I'm interested to see what he can do. He's probably, as I think Johnny Jackson said, he's chomping at the bit to be involved now and get involved because he's come, couldn't play against Stockport, couldn't even be involved, couldn't play in the cup game because he was cup tied. So yeah, I'm guessing he's probably trained well. He should be fit as fiddle now. And yeah, I think we just need to get Reeves back massively and we'll be a playoff team. But without Reeves in little long term, I think we're a mid-table team, which I'm still happy with. So what we're going? You're going 2-1, Danny.
I'd be daft. I'm going 1-1.
Oh, you're 1-1
against a good side. I'm happy with it.
Cool. So this week I go above you in the league table then, because Wimbledon will win, and you.
Yeah, if you like, if you're watching a different game to me, yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
Well, most weeks you sound like you're watching a different game to me. Yes, George.
Hey.
Just say, do we think Bass has been a bit unlucky? Because I saw some people were saying, "Oh, he's been poor and made mistakes." I think Bass is really. I think he's a key part of the back line, and I'm really happy. I know this is a bit of a side note, but I've seen people on Twitter being like, "Oh, maybe we start Tan soon." You know, Bass hasn't really kept many clean sheets.
Nah.
I think Port Saturday couldn't do anything about the goals. I know he made a mistake at Chelsea and a bit wobbly in Newport, but I've been really impressed with him.
The Chelsea one, I'll forgive him for. The Newport one, I think the first goal in Newport, yeah, was maybe his mistake. You know what I mean? He's got to be a bit stronger. He's mustard. He's so much better than Zanev. It's unbelievable. I think I was one of the people as well, though, said if Zanev had made them mistakes that Bass had made, he'd be getting absolute pelters and people would be jumping on it. But yeah, I still think Bass is our number one goalkeeper and you don't take him out of that team, love or money at the moment, unless he throws it in the net himself. But I'm guessing you're the same, aren't you, Danny?
Very much so. I mean, I think Zanev's an okay keeper in League Two, but Bass, I think, is definitely a League One keeper at least. And I don't worry too much about the striker thing because, you know, if we're struggling, we'll just get Courtney Senior back. It's not a problem. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do a very good job. Ben Hennigan's available.
I was just
well.
About to say, Ben, people were talking about... Just my mad that. Thing is, loads like, of Wimbledon fans, or not loads, about three, said, I'd love to have him back. I'm thinking, wait a minute, we've got Lewis Johnson, Callum Bailey to come back in, and Sutcliffe has shown me that Pierce is nowhere near it now. If Sutcliffe's about, you put Sutcliffe in there over Pierce. But yeah, we haven't got the money to get Ben Hennigan back. Do you know what I mean? And we don't need that.
How
position.
Do you know? How do you know we've got loads of money from the Chelsea
game? Why would we? We've got 4 or 5 centre backs already, mate. Why do we need another one?
Because he's brilliant.
Who's going to be captain on Saturday, by the way? If no Brown, Pierce, or Reeves, it'd be interesting to see. Just from like a leadership point of view. Imagine it'd be like someone like Johnson, but he's only been here for 2 months.
I think it'll be him.
I'd give it. Because Johnson's permanent, he might get it, but I'd probably be leaning towards Lewis.
Yeah, one of them two, I think, would be a sensible pick.
Yeah, I can't see
it. It won't be any.
Maybe Jack Curry,
football,
possibly.
No,
but because he talks well, no. he leads
I
on
think
the pitch.
Lewis as a character seems to be an alpha when I watch him. Yes. He seems to be the guy, apart from his shorts, which is more beta. But he's definitely, I feel like he's the alpha of the defence. So I'd be tempted to give it to Joe Lewis.
Andy, you're not down with the kids, mate. Unfortunately,
I've never been.
All the alpha males these days, they wear their short shorts. That's what
they
do.
Show me age, mate.
You teach kids. You're clearly not in touch with them.
To be fair.
Really teach them the way they should be. Because
I was a short wear
their shorts. Need to sort my life out.
I've always been a short shorts man. I went to Magaluf.
Have you?
Magaluf, I can't remember. Magaluf 2000, something like that. And I was in short shorts. The baby anteater got a whirlwind tour that weekend. Anyway, thanks again, boys, for joining me on the podcast. Thanks to our sponsor, Season Master. Yeah, and we'll see everyone on Saturday against Crewe. Tickets were only a fiver, so should be a packed house. And yeah, thanks very much, boys. Come on, you dons.
Good
good. It's great.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.